This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Gaze podcast. You can hear us live on Joy 94.9 Saturday afternoon from noon via the live stream at joy.org.au/listen-live or tune your wireless in Melbourne to 94.9 FM.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, nail it, create it, change it, point it to me, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, code it, jam and lock it.
Good afternoon, welcome to Techno Gaze, the show where we gaze into the world of consumer electronics, gadgets and technology. I was about to revert back to Techno Gaze 1.0.
Oh. A
where
downgrade.
We gaze into the world of consumer. No, wait. What was the other one? I can't remember now.
What was the previous tagline?
Yeah, there was.
Nerd stuff and things that go beep.
Looking to the past, observing the current, and gazing into the future of technology. See, it's like motor memory, right there. Just comes out.
It sounds great. Why mess with a good thing?
That's what we like to do. We like to talk about tech. And
speaking of tech,
sorry, Michael's playing in the studio.
It's been we're not supposed to make Mark giggle.
Oh, okay,
it's wrong.
Don't this is a giggle-free show.
To be fair, you don't have to do a lot to get Mark to giggle.
I'll stop it. Now that is the voice of Raina.
Hello.
And we also have Michael here as well.
Hello.
And now, today is Tech Drive. Well, the whole week has been Tech Drive here at Joy 94.9.
What's Tech Drive?
I'm sorry to start off with this, but we are really keen to get some donations because we really do need some new equipment here at Joy 94.9.
Mate, I'm not sorry to start off with this. We totally need new equipment.
We do.
We've spoken heaps about the problems with running Windows XP. And what do we have here?
Lots of Windows XP.
And the reason for that is because some of the machines here are not capable of actually being upgraded to anything newer. So software, we've got sort of with that, but the actual machines themselves, we need actual hardware. We need to buy a whole bunch of things. I think we even need a few new chairs and that sort of stuff as well. But, you know, if we can get your donations here at Joy to the Tech Drive, it will help immensely in keeping us on air, keeping the back of house operations running as well. So I'm sorry to launch straight into it.
I'm not.
We should probably also talk about what we're going to do on the show, right?
Right.
And then I'll ask you again for money.
Yay!
So, on today's show, of course, we talk about technology. So, we're going to talk about advances in in-flight internet access that can approximate NBN speeds.
Depends which version of the NBN you're talking about, of course.
Of course, if you've ever been in a plane and you're isolated from the world, internet access is a great thing. As soon as you get even just a small amount of bandwidth in a plane, is a good thing, but there's
anything that means that you don't have to talk to the person sitting next to you.
I'm sorry, I'm on Facebook.
I'm one of those travellers.
Is this when you travel with your family?
Oh, silly, I don't travel with my family.
Now, while we're in the air as well, we'll talk about better ways of tracking flights, even across vast expanses of ocean. I guess a bit topical in the current, what we're currently dealing with.
That's right.
In the Indian Ocean. Semi-intelligent drones that are programmed to avoid airports as well. And later on, we'll be discussing a whole bunch of things, including there was an outage to one of the big four banks.
Which
yes,
bank was that?
The yellow one.
Which bank was that?
Oh, right. That bank. there was some the same bank actually made it into the news because of their
it's been a big week for the People's Bank.
They responded to Heartbleed on social media in a not so good fashion.
That's right.
We'll talk a bit about that now. the NBN has made it this week as well, with a bit of competition ramping up in the fiber to the X. I'm going to call it fiber to the X now because we don't really know where the fiber's going to end up.
It could be a node, could be a basement, could be a power pole.
Could be a Telstra exchange.
Could be a fridge.
Fiber to the exchange.
Wow. Such innovation.
I hope every exchange has fiber going to it today. I really do.
You'd be surprised.
I probably would be. And other bandwidthy kind of news as well. Is that a word, bandwidthy?
It is now. It's an official TechnoGaze word.
Wi-Fi at 10 gigabits per second.
Whoa.
Get out.
That will go so well connected to my fiber NBN connection.
You can get so many episodes of Game of Thrones.
Legally, of course.
Of course.
100%.
Yeah. After it's finished its run in Foxtel and you're able to download it over other media outlets.
That's Foxtel On Demand.
Oh, of course.
Of course. But that's right, I suppose. I don't know.
Isn't that, you still got to wait until, like, you've got to wait every week for it to, I don't know. Anyway, we should probably not to promote any particular channel. Now, Tech Drive. It is Tech Drive this week. We really do need your donations. So
look, aside from these computers with XP that we keep talking about, man, can we just talk about the chair in Studio 3? We're not in Studio 3 today, but Michael's had some experience with one of these chairs in Studio 3.
Falling off it?
Yeah, because literally the arms are falling off it. Okay, I got to sit on that chair on Monday morning, right? Yes, and I'm there, I went, oh, hey, listeners, blah, 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 with my wiggly chair here. And I swear you could have heard it. But so there's chairs, there's things like, recorders so that we can go out to, you know, more events, the community, stuff like that.
Yep.
Headphones for the OB. Mm. So for the outside broadcast, sorry, look at all that jargon there. But, you know, outside broadcast, right? So, you know, when we come to things like Pride or we go to, you know, other things at Midsummer or... You know, we had that broadcast out at La Trobe just a few weeks ago, stuff like that. I mean, when we go out to the community and we do these sorts of broadcasts, we need the equipment in order to be able to do that and do that well and, you know, be a part of it.
And the best way for people to donate is either online,
going
to the Joy website and following the link to the Tech Drive.
Yep, there's a huge banner, so you can't miss it.
Yep, or by calling Mushin.
Oh, he's waiting for your call.
1-300-JOY-949.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, shall we get on to what was the first one on the list? It was GoGo, which is a US-based internet provision service. Particularly, they offer internet in the air, as in on a plane, and they are previewing what is touted as being the future of in-flight internet networking at 70 megabits per second.
Yes, download only, of course.
Right.
So upload will be a little bit slower.
Yep.
So I don't know if you could really host your website in-flight, but if you want to stream audio or video, so if you want to stream Joy and listen to Joy in the air, it'll be perfect.
I have actually done that before.
Really?
In the US, I was on a particular flight and obtained internet access and, just happened to jump onto the feed and I don't think it was TechnoGaze at the time, though.
Oh, should have timed your flight better.
next year, GoGo, their in-flight system, their networking is hoping to bring downloads to 70 megabits per second. In aircraft, and at the moment they're really only offered at about 3 megabits. So,
and that's shared amongst the whole aircraft, isn't it?
Yes.
And with GoGo, they're looking at implementing in stages. So they might provision 10 meg, and if there's more demand, then they can ramp it up to 10, 20, 30, up to 70 meg.
Right. I think I saw a photo of their satellite rig that they mount into the planes themselves, and it's actually, you know, because it needs to orient itself to the satellite that's
providing the signal.
And that's not a cheap thing to do, to maintain a satellite link. And not only do that, but actually have the equipment on board a plane to
achieve
that.
That's expensive too, and you know, everything on a plane weighs something. You know, you've kind of got to make trade-offs for bits and pieces.
Yep. Which might explain some of the prices that you have to pay today to get internet on planes, which is quite high.
Mm. Yeah, and you kind of think about it in this day and age and think, oh, you know, why does it cost so much? It's actually, you know, the satellite connectivity is a pretty costly thing. They're actually planning to use geostationary satellites, so the satellites that actually stick in a single spot in relation to the Earth's position.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which, again, I guess it probably helps in orienting the satellite receiver.
Now, I've used the wireless, not wireless internet, but I've used a wireless thing on a large carrier in Australia before, the red one, and the other red one. Not the one with the crush on the end. They're both red.
Yes. In fact, all of them are, now that I think about it.
No, there's still a blue one somewhere. No, the one that used to have a colour that isn't red in its name, but it was... I'm now having too much fun with that. Okay, so they have this wireless in-flight entertainment thing anyway, so you can actually take your own device and you can use their onboard Wi-Fi, which is not for the internet, but you can actually use that to, you know, like watch their streaming video and stuff like that as well.
Yep.
And it seems like it gets not very good uptake.
Mm.
And I'm not really 100% sure. Like, I don't know, I'm just thinking about the last time I went flying. I think quite a few people don't mind having...
switching off? Or?
Yeah, some of them just don't mind switching off. And, yeah. You know, especially with the short hops. So if you're flying to Sydney or something like that, am I really going to pay, you know, however many dollars to have 25 minutes of Facebook and the rest of the time being, you know, climbing and landing?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Big flights, though.
But there is also talk about in the airline industry actually removing the need to turn off gadgets during takeoff and landing.
Yes.
Which
I think they've done in the US already.
Yeah.
There's a few airlines that have done that, yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's something that... I think would be better for long haul flights.
Mm. Watch the skies, as they say.
Ah.
As they say.
Yes. Now, we've got some more airline news in a few moments, but this is Techno Gaze here on Joy 94.9.
Techno Gaze.
Joy.
Relax.
Take it easy.
Kick back like Tristan.
Mm-hmm.
Who has just texted in to let us know, emailed in to let us know, I'm loving your show, going to be having a spa and a glass of sparkling wine in the spa. Temp is 35 degrees.
Hey.
Well,
I was about to make a joke about a certain server room that I'm familiar with, but
here
I probably
at Joy.
Shouldn't. It's a Joy 94.9, you're listening to Techno Gaze. It is a balmy 35 degrees in certain places in the studio here.
That's right. Well, a bit warm in our server room, which is full of technology.
Much to the demise of certain components, which is why we want to do tech. We're doing Tech Drive. We need to get your money, your donations to help.
We're not too proud to say it.
you know,
let's be real.
Actually, so I'm going to put it out on the table right now. $500 is what I'm going to donate to Tech Drive right here, right now. I'm not going to do it right now. I'll do it straight after the show. But we need your money. And
that's right. Because, I mean, it's community radio, right? You know, the sponsorship keeps us on air. It doesn't make us any money or profit or anything like that in terms of, you know, this is a non-profit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We get funded by the donations that you give us. So we don't rely on government. We obtain some government funding throughout the year for certain activities, but we don't, we don't get funded by the government on a constant basis.
That's right.
We really rely on membership and donations to keep the place running.
And look, even a little is better than nothing. Obviously, any little bit that you can contribute, we're so grateful for. And you know what? Even if you can't contribute, if you can just get the word out,
yep.
We've even got a hashtag. Do we not? Tech Drive 2014.
Yes.
I think that's the case.
I'm pretty sure.
Or is it Joy Tech Drive 2014?
Oh, bless. We need to check our Twitter feeds.
Tell everybody you know on Facebook to send us all the spare change.
Now, actually, so I've made the decision. $500 is what I'm going to donate during the show today. Not to just get our show's quota up, but also I'm going to say, put it down right here, right now, that if you donate to the Tech Drive during the show here between midday and 1 o'clock on TechnoGaze, then I will match that dollar for dollar. So thank you. Oh my God.
Okay, we've had a couple of donations come in.
And I've already had to match it. So I'm going to put some rules around this, right? Because we've just had a few very sizable donations come in.
But so, dollar for dollar.
I'm not trying to renegotiate on this, but so $500 is my upfront amount, and even anything up to $2,000 that we get during the show today, I'm going to match dollar for dollar.
Oh my goodness.
I feel so passionately about the technology that we need to have to run the station here that we just need, you know.
Too right.
Yeah. So that will convince you. Empty my wallet.
That's right. And you can empty Mark's wallet. Get onto joy.org.au, look for the big banner on the website, or give us a call, 1300-JOY-949. Both of those are really great ways to make donations. And by the way, it's not so long until the tax man cometh, and every donation over $2 is tax deductible.
Yay.
Yes. And we've had two people already start to empty Mark's wallet.
That's right.
We've had one donation for $200.
Yes.
And another one for $150.
No kidding.
Nice. So, yes.
Wow.
Good job, Joy listeners.
Top Have we of got it.
Anne from Q East, I think, is one of the donors there.
Yep.
And what was the other one? Michael from Elsenwick.
Yes.
Sounds familiar. Now, technology. We talk about tech here as well. We're not just trying to get your money. But we would like your money as well. Now, so we're talking about aircraft and what's going on in aircraft news. And one that came up this week was better than radar technology to boost aircraft tracking.
Right.
Yes. So we've had heard a lot of in the news recently about MH370 and how it literally disappeared off the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some new technology out there called ADS-B that should stop things like that from happening in the future.
Right.
So essentially what it is, it's almost a mesh-type network. So not only does it talk to ground stations, to base stations, it also talks to other aircraft to tell it the whole wide world where I am.
You're right.
So it has information such as the flight number, the airline, the heading, altitude and airspeed.
Mm-hmm.
And over large bodies of water, it will report to satellites. So these are geostationary satellites.
Yep.
So that at any point in time, any aircraft should be trackable.
And this is the thing, right? So in a situation where any data at all that you can obtain about a flight is valuable, like in the case of MH370.
And radar's pretty awesome, but radar's also not very smart, right? Mm. It literally just says there is a thing in the air and it's going this far, and you kind of have to rely on other signals, like radio or whatever, to figure out who's what.
So I think, I think the way that they've found the search location for MH370 was not around radar or anything like that.
No, because it had just lost it.
It was a system for maintenance. It was a engine maintenance sort of reporting back system. They were able to analyze
like a back-to-base thing.
The signal there. So
ADS-B is full of all these different signals that make it a lot easier to track you down. So, you know, it says I'm VH whatever, whatever, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm going this fast, and I belong to the airline with the rat on the tail and stuff like that. You know, it's that sort of stuff.
And it sends this information out once every second. So you would hope that there are processes in place that if a flight stops broadcasting this, then straight away somebody is going to get onto and say, hey, there's something wrong. We need to track it down and try and work out what's going on.
Yeah.
Now, it's not cheap. It costs between $100,000 and $250,000 per plane to retrofit it.
Right.
And newer planes are having it already installed, and it's something that the FAA has mandated for all commercial aircraft to be fitted by the year 2020.
Right. That's not too far away, really, is it?
No.
6 years to fit
not
that in
all.
The aircraft.
Yeah.
But, yeah. A really good illustration of why we need such technology is what's going on there.
And as somebody said, $250,000 sounds like a lot of money, but how much is it costing to mount this, the current search and rescue operation?
Well, there's no price on safety anyway.
No, that's right.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Now, moving on as well to...
things that fly?
Let's move on to the banking news.
Oh, yeah.
I think would be good. So the Commonwealth Bank here in Australia... Has suffered an outage during the week.
Yeah, that's right. So actually, not that I got hugely affected because I haven't a bank somewhere else, but the FPOS network that belongs to them as well.
Mm.
So not only did their online banking services go down for their customers, but a whole bunch of people using EFT as well.
Yep.
So there I go thinking, geez, I could really use some caffeine. I had a training day, so I was doing a lot of standing up and talking to people and stuff like that. And I'm like, I could really use a hot injection of coffee right now. Nope. Not for me.
FPOS terminal says no.
FPOS says no.
It's really embarrassing. What happens when you sort of, go to the garage and fill up with petrol and go to pay
and you don't
have any cash on you and you can't pay for it?
Mm. That's right. I mean, a lot of retailers, I don't know if this ever happened to you if you've ever worked in retail, but, it's usually one of the first things you do is like someone sort of comes wandering up, hopefully going, no FPOS.
Yeah.
Oh. God,
and it's an integral part of what we do. And it's funny because... You hear about foreigners, for example, or when I say foreigners, I mean people over the other side of the ditch in New Zealand, coming here and saying, how we rely on cash so much. And even though we're a pretty cash, like Australia is pretty cash heavy in terms of how we transact and compared to other, we still, you know, notice it when things like a single bank's FPOS or the entire banking system, I think, because it affected net banking, it affected FPOS, it affected
phone banking as well.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for a small period of time, it was for almost 5 hours. Which
yeah, that's
a
right.
Huge amount of time to be down.
Some people were suggesting that it might have even happened a little earlier. So there were there were a couple of customers on social media who were saying that they were getting issues the day before.
Right.
A few limited issues. Speaking of social media, they got absolute caning about it. So people are jumping all over Facebook going, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. You know, and you know, customers, I mean, obviously you're going to be pretty grumpy, but a lot of customers are saying that they just weren't updating them fast enough on what to expect.
It's an interesting analysis of how you can do social media badly. Happened this week, of course, with Commonwealth Bank. And they also got in the news with Heartbleed. Heartbleed, of course, being the SSL vulnerability that's affected so many different websites across the world.
We talked about it last week.
We did.
And all week, you know, I've been getting emails from, you know, this website or that website going, you know, we've done the patch, you know, we were vulnerable, you should change your password, or no, we weren't vulnerable, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
You've probably been getting them too, right?
Yes.
But the Commonwealth Bank, on the other hand, chucks up a blog post that maybe could have been a little bit clearer. And you know, saying, well, you know, we've patched it, everything's cool, you don't have to worry. And people were getting on the comments going, what do you mean you've got the patch? Does that mean you were ever vulnerable? What's the deal? And their social media staff were responding going, hi, customer, we've got the patch, so you don't have to worry. Like, that's paraphrasing, but it was pretty much, no, answer the question, you guys, is were you vulnerable?
This is a yes-no answer we want.
But we can rest assured that we are patched against the Heartbleed bug, and you do not need to change your NetBank password. And
I suspect for a bank, it's one of those very tricky situations where legally they don't want to say too much, because if they don't have a legal sort of representative involved in the whole you know, back and forth process, they can't easily come up with a yes or no answer, because they're like, well, if we say this, then we might be held liable for it.
Maybe that's the thing, though. Maybe they did. Maybe their legal people said, yeah, we should just say that. And if they have any questions, just tell them that.
Keep on repeating it when people question it.
Man. So it was, I mean, it just looked really embarrassing. And everybody, of course, was jumping all over social media going, fail, look at the idiots. But look, it's something that really, when it's banking and stuff like that, it is kind of people's actual livelihoods and lives that you're thinking about. It's just really...
There needs to be an amount of transparency with that sort of stuff, because it is, you know, there's an expectation that you keep your password secure. And so if your password, in fact, in most terms of service or whatever with banking, if, you know, it is absolutely your responsibility to keep your password to yourself. Otherwise, you know, you are liable in some circumstances to anything that might be lost. So for them to not have a direct answer to the question, you know, were we vulnerable, or was there any possibility of our passwords being leaked? Is hard to say.
Now, and that day they invite a lot of journos around for drinks for possibly an unrelated reason, I'm not sure, but I bet the conversations there were very interesting.
Oh, geez. Now, you're listening to TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9. We're slowly making our way through the news items that we've got coming up. In a few moments, we'll be talking a bit more about Heartbleed and how it's affected Chrome as well. And later on, we'll be talking about NBN Co. too. You're listening to TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9. TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9, where we cover the latest in technology, gadgets, and consumer electronics. We also ask for your donations.
Yes, we cover all the money. Now, we just got to hear two messages. One was about our podcasts, right?
Yep.
So the computers that our volunteers do podcasts on, they're right here in the studio. Man, they're old.
They take about 4.5 to 5 minutes to boot.
They do. And I mean, if you're a volunteer and you're giving up your time, right, then time is maybe not money, but certainly valuable in that sort of case.
Well, you want to make the environment as pleasant as possible for the volunteers. So they, you know, they want to come here, and why make it difficult?
Man, no kidding. We were talking about 777s before. There's at least one of those computers, when you start it up, goes like, it's amazing. It sounds like it's about to take off out the window and go halfway down Burke Street.
Now, yes, so we are asking for your donations, and Peter from Richmond has kindly donated $100. Thank you very much, Peter, for that.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I am matching dollar for dollar all the donations we get for throughout TechnoGaze today.
Mm-hmm.
And we are already well on the way to meeting our quota. We had a pretty high watermark made this morning in breakfast.
So how good are the breakfast listeners?
Yeah.
$2,500 they donated.
Just in the one. So we're trying to beat that.
Amazing.
If you love TechnoGaze, you will love the idea of us beating other shows. Mm-hmm. So
that's right. So how do you do it? You donate online at joy.org.au using the big banner that is right there, right in front and centre on the homepage. Can't miss it. 1-300-JOY-949 is our phone number. And of course, anything that you can do to spread the word via social media would be really awesome. And it is true. The official hashtag is JoyTechDrive2014.
I was going to say, on the flip side, if you don't like me, for whatever reason, then you can empty my wallet by donating money. So do donate money, because I'm going to match it dollar for dollar. Did I say that already? I think I did.
That's
for the greater good.
It's how you put your money where your mouth is, guys.
Now,
more tech news.
Tech news, yep.
That's okay. Right.
Chromebleed.
Chromebleed. This is a really cool little plugin. So
we've heard about Heartbleed, of course.
That's right.
The whole thing, and it's very hard to determine whether sites are affected that you're browsing to, right?
Yeah, that's right. So if you use Chrome, I like Chrome. Chrome's all right. Then it might be useful for you. So what it does is it checks out the sites that you're looking at to let you know if it's Heartbleed safe or not. So have they been identified as vulnerable? Yes or no? Have they been patched? Yes or no? Etc. And even if you're doing a Google search, it'll actually show you next to the search whether or not
the site's protected.
Yeah, exactly, which is really good. So you can make a decision about, I might have a look, but maybe I won't log in.
I installed the extension on my computer last night.
How'd it go?
And it's gone very well. It's got a little Heartbleed icon in the top right-hand corner of the browser bar. Mm-hmm.
Didn't they do a good job of branding that, by the way?
Oh, so fantastic. Obvious. Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm just waiting to find a site that's not patched, so it will tell me. So far, everything's been patched, which is good. What else do we have?
Heartbleed, of course. A great opportunity for the NSA, the government agency of the USA, who have been outed as spying all over us over the past few
That's
years.
Right. And as soon as the news came out, right, there's a lot of people going, oh, yeah, but the NSA really enjoyed that, hardy, hardy, hardy. But no, there's actual rumours now that maybe they really did know about it for ages.
And it brings up the whole question of, hey, if they're exploiting stuff that is out in the wild, is known to be an exploit, they're a government agency. Is there any responsibility of them to know and to actually report the issue if it's something that's known? But yeah, if they've been hacking into sites based on an SSL vulnerability.
Mm. Now, they of course, declined to comment on whether or not they might have been doing that, which is, kind of what you expect.
Cannot confirm or deny.
That's right. But, the actual report, which is on Bloomberg, it doesn't even say who said it. I'm going to wait a little bit and see if anything more sort of turns up.
But, nothing wrong with us speculating, though, right? Like, why not?
It's never stopped us in the past.
That's right. Now, shall we move on to, NBN Co.
Yes, what about them?
They've been
FTTX?
FTT Star.
FTT Star.
As in fibre to the...
Something or
actually,
other.
Actually, no, X works well. Fibre to the exchange.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, it's already been done then, hasn't it?
No. Oh, anyway, NBN rollout's finished. under budget and above ahead of schedule.
Anyway, look, TPG, we've been talking about them doing this before. They've been wanting to put fibre in people's basements, yeah?
Yep.
Yep. NBN says, ...
So they're like, okay, so I think the background story, how far should we go into this? But NBN Co. now has a new CEO, Bill Morrow. And he hasn't really messed around to getting down to business. He's already sacked both his chief technology officer and his chief financial officer within the last couple of weeks. And now back in September, we talked about TPG's surprise announcement to challenge NBN Co's position to offer fibre to the basement. So it's ability to connect to fibre in a multi-dwelling apartment style thing. Now, they were touting possibly reaching out to 500,000 Australians by offering to this fibre-to-the-basement service. Consequently, now NBN Co., which traditionally has been about the government policy and sort of filling on, you know, fair access and setting up high bandwidth connectivity to rural areas, for example, they've now gone hard at it and are competing for what's called the low-hanging fruit. So the fruit that is
none of those hard things like, you know, people on large blocks or rural or anything.
Farms out in the middle of nowhere, no?
No, no. That's right.
Just a fibre connection from the street into the basement of a...
Gee whiz.
Of an apartment block. And, of course, this messes with TPG's plans because TPG were hoping to get out first and sort of take advantage of NBN Co.'s, you know, floundering in that sense. But it looks like they've got competition going on there, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. So, yeah. Good news there, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
For those of us who are in metropolitan areas.
It really does leave a sour taste in my mouth. Actually, something that I did hear about in the bush, not in the bush, but certainly in Tasmania this week, is that workers from VisionStream, who are one of the contractors doing NBN work at the moment, are getting shoved onto weird contracts and doing all that sort of thing, which
is really
shonky.
They're trying to turn it around or change the thing that the status that they're working under,
which is not so cool. So it's, I don't know, it's all working out.
Now speaking of high bandwidth, a company called Quantenna,
like an antenna
but with a QU at the beginning.
Oh, sounds like science.
Quantifiable antenna.
Quantum leap.
They're offering 10 gigabits per second Wi-Fi.
They're talking about developing, a new chipset that will allow you to have Wi-Fi at home with 10 gigabit bandwidth.
Now, the more well-known brand, ASUS, will be offering an access point based on this, and it's actually got 8 antennas built into the access point that they're talking about. And that means, so ASUS are going to offer an actual product with this. And what they're going to do is increase the number of what are called spatial streams, I guess in sort of air bandwidth terms.
They're actually going to be using a bunch of bits of the spectrum that are actually not yet used.
Yeah.
And not yet classified, that's right. So, or not yet licensed, rather. So in the US, I think some of those things are being opened up, although not so much in Australia, which I suppose... It's kind of a bit of a free-for-all. You can't really sort of control it if it's not actually allocated and licensed.
Well, there are regulations around these things. Like, you actually look on the back of...
you shouldn't. Don't do that.
On any device, there is usually an FCC sticker on there, which is the American regulatory body,
that's right.
I think.
That's right.
And even for Australian stuff, if you look in the manuals of your access points, you'll see that it's got some sort of certification to say, yes, this is allowed to be used for transmission of stuff.
Yeah, and Aussie standards and stuff like that. And so I guess all this massive amounts of bandwidth, that and what they also said was a boatload of antennas, which I think is not a metric value of measure, but... They're going to be doing that to sort of, you know, supercharge all that. So it'll be interesting to see if that makes it to Australia with all of its functions and bits and pieces intact. But it certainly sounds like great news for us.
Yes. Yeah.
Home.
There is another gotcha, though. The headline is 10 gigabits per second, but it actually relies on the other side. So your own laptop, for example, needs to support that same what is it called?
Whatever standard they'll end up calling it. I guess, you know, so it's called 802.11a or c at the moment is I suppose your favourite big one for that. But
so if your computer can't do the multiple spatial
streams, I don't think we've run out of letters yet,
then,
so maybe it'll be that, like 802.11.
They're stuck on A and they're stuck on A, B, and C, aren't they?
There's A, B, C, G, and N.
Oh, G,
and N. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Anyway, that should be really good if you are thinking about enormous TVs.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
4K.
4K TVs, because how can you get all those lovely pixels to your TV from your router if you're legally streaming something?
Not just TVs.
No, that's right.
But also laptops as
well.
Yes. So Toshiba have come out with a new laptop called the Satellite P55T. It almost looks
so catchy.
Like leet speak there. P55T, the way it's written.
Looks like it spells a naughty word.
Now, the thing about this particular laptop is it's got a 4K display in it. Now, of course, we've talked about 4K resolution before in the sense of television. And it's basically four times the HD, current HD standard, isn't it?
Is that better than Retina?
Well, in actual fact, I'm glad you asked, because I don't know the actual answer to that. And if anyone's listening at home and you're able to Google this while we're, and I think Rain is doing it right now.
I'm all over the Google.
282 pixels per inch is what's included in this laptop. It's actually a 15.6-inch screen.
So it's fairly large.
And is capable of 3,840 by 2,160 pixels.
Oh, here you go, here you go. The MacBook Pro is 220 points per inch, but the iPhone, iPod Touch and whatever is 326.
Depending on which Apple device you compare it to.
Look, the whole point of Retina and you know, high DPI generally is that you can't see the pixels anymore anyway, so there's a point where, it's good enough. How exciting.
Now, this machine wouldn't be trying to compete with Apple in any shape or form, would it?
No, not at all.
And the price tag doesn't tell you that either.
Well, so it's first of all got a brushed aluminium finish.
Pure coincidence.
Aluminium, isn't that like that silvery sort of colour?
And the other specs we're talking here is there's an i7 quad-core processor. I'm pretty sure that's what the MacBook Pro
juicy.
Has. 16 gig of memory maximum, and a whole bunch of other things, including 2 gig of video memory, USB 3 ports, blah, blah, blah,
et cetera.
It's quite amazing. It's also, actually, this is where it does compete with Apple. It's got a Blu-ray drive included as well.
Whoop-de-doo.
Which Apple have pushed away. They're saying
No more spindles, drives. No more moving bits.
Speaking of new computers, we just got a lovely donation.
We need new computers here at Joy.
Possibly not those ones, but certainly ones that are good enough to do stuff on, because at the moment they're all getting a bit tired. And Mark from Brunswick has offered up a kind donation. So thank you, Mark.
$200. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Mark, so good.
You are sending me broke. I'm matching dollar for dollar every donation that we get during Techno Gaze, and so far we're doing quite well.
The Milky Bars are on, Mark.
Mark's going to be eating lots of home-cooked meals for the next 2 or 3 months.
Ah, jeez. You're listening to Techno Gaze here on Joy 94.9.
Techno Gaze.
Joy.
Techno Gaze here on Joy 94.9. We're covering the latest in technology, gadgets and consumer electronics. And we're looking for your donations.
We want your money, honey, and we want your love.
Can you do that with a bit of a tune?
Do. No. maybe karaoke after a few sherbets.
Absolutely.
So Tech Drive is on. It's on. It's happening. It's been happening for a while. And we're asking for your donations because we're looking for just a bit of an improvement to some of the technology stuff around here. We've got a lot of dusty old computers that make terrifying noises when they start up. We're looking to purchase some new recorders so that we can get out and do more interviews and things like that. Some wireless headsets for when we go out and do outside broadcasts. All that sort of stuff.
Yeah. It's... every donation that you give, because it is a donation to a non-profit, all donations over $2 are tax deductible.
That's right.
So it's a good time to worry about your tax, considering it's the end of the financial year. Your accountant may well be happy with you for to giving us money, because it actually reduces your taxable income.
Too right. My paperwork makes my accountant very happy. So the more of it I can provide him, I think the more he feels like he's earning his fee. So, by all means, get stuck into it. So, thank you to everyone who's donated so far. So, we've had some donations from Mark, Peter, Anne, Michael. Who else? Oh, my goodness. We've had so many donations from other listeners, especially during Beckfast. What a massive effort the Beckfast listeners can give up.
We are trying to beat Beckfast. We've got another 13 minutes to go before the end of the show. So, we would like to meet the target of $800 for this show.
Can we do it?
I'm hoping we can. It's up to you, listeners.
We will let you know.
Shall we move on to another...
news.
The alert shirt.
This is actually one of the... I like watching a bit of sport on TV.
This is mine.
Oh, this is...
this dovetails quite nicely to our appearance on...
Technogaze After Dark.
Hide and Seek.
Yes.
A couple of weeks back, we were talking about the possibility of wearable computing moved into the XXX arena, perhaps?
And this is a non-XXX...
implementation, yes.
Well, potentially not XX.
This is the family-friendly world of football.
I will say, though, it did catch my attention because there was a rather nice-looking AFL footballer on the article that I read about it.
My goodness. Let's talk about what it actually is, though. So the alert shirt...
yes.
Can't I go on about the video first?
Yes. It being an auditory-only medium, then... maybe we can direct people to go have a look at a website later. Now, the alert shirt, right, is a shirt that you can obtain from Foxtel, and you use it with an app on your phone. Mm. And what it does is it actually uses haptics in the shirt, as in little feedback thingies,
yes,
to communicate things about the game to you.
Yes.
So, you know, if a player takes a big hit or whatever, then your smartphone gets the data from some server somewhere, tells your shirt to give you a little bit of a tingle.
Mm.
How cool.
In an appropriate spot.
In the appropriate spot. That's right.
And they even go as far to say that, you know, the nerves, the butterflies that the football player feels before they're, you know, about to make a big kick, that you feel the butterflies in your stomach as well.
No way.
Yeah.
So too right.
It's a bit of a new level for wearable computing, isn't it? It actually makes the whole experience a little bit more interactive.
Yeah, it really does.
It all works over... So it works over an app on an Android or iOS device. And it sends Bluetooth signals to the shirt, and it's a service that will be offered by Foxtel.
Too right.
For their Fox Footy customers, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Now, I believe they're called Wearable Experiments, I think is the name of the guys that worked on that. So
right.
If you jump on your favourite search engine and go and ask them about that, then you should actually find some pretty interesting information there as well. But it's pretty crazy. I mean, real-time game data.
Yes. And apparently they've worked with certain team captains of AFL to develop the tech and to ensure a deep understanding of how the body feels during key moments of the game.
Yeah, so if you're a Collingwood fan, as apparently 90% of Joy is, Hawthorn and Richmond as well, then Scott Pendlebury... Luke Hodge and Trent Cotchin have all been working on it with the guys at Wearable Experiments as well. So pretty exciting. You can go and check out some stuff at everyone's favourite pay TV provider, and also just get on down for Wearable Experiments there as well.
Now, I think we've got some news off the press.
Oh, man.
Ka-ching.
We have just received another donation. I'm going, oh man, because my wallet's becoming lighter and lighter as we continue on the show.
There are lots of people that love you, Mark.
Chris from Carnegie, thank you very much for your massive donation of $500.
Wow.
This is for Tech Drive, right? Here at Joy 94.9, we're doing our best to try and upgrade the systems here. And in order to do that, we need your money. So thank you very much, Chris. My heart is fluttering now because I'm thinking about how I'm going to be able to afford this.
That's right. And another.
Yes, Josh from Travancore.
Oh, thank you, Josh from Travancore. He's
donated $150.
Mm.
There you go.
Cool.
My brother of the 59 tram line.
I'm matching $1 for $1 here. So
that is fantastic.
Thank you for your kind efforts. And kind donations. And if anyone else, we've got 9 minutes to go before the end of the show. We have, I think we've beaten Beckfest's quantity
mm-hmm.
amount.
So how can you do it? You can go to joy.org.au, have a look for the big banner right in the middle of the screen.
You can, if you do it online, you can actually leave us comments as well. So if you do that within the next 8 minutes now, we'll see that in the... In the email that we get through to the studio,
mm-hmm. yeah. Or you can call 1-300-JOY-949 and leave your messages there with Mushin, who is on the front desk.
Yes,
yes. What else do we have in news?
Apple is what? It's
still
CarPlay.
There.
Yeah. Yeah, they are a massive conglomerate, or not conglomerate, but a very big company, of course. And they're moving into the car entertainment space with CarPlay. It is a way to integrate your iOS devices into your car's entertainment system.
That's right. And when they announced it, they were like, yeah, if you get a brand new car from any of these wonderful marks, blah, 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 to which I said, not going to happen.
Very Apple-esque, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, you want something new and shiny.
You get a new and shiny car to go with it, but not this time.
So now they're offering through Alpine, I believe, an aftermarket offering for their CarPlay service, or services in integration platform.
That's
CarPlay,
right.
Of course, is the thing which will enable you to connect your iOS device to your car's entertainment system. It will provide touchscreen integration as well, or the ability even to talk to your...
Yeah, you can use Siri to do a bunch of stuff now with your car and keep your hands where we can see them. So,
and it gives you a nice big screen up the front.
And if you're looking for an excuse, I think, to add some, you know, pimp to your ride or whatever, then sounds like a decent way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, CarPlay, of course, debuted last month, and it's, it seems like they're actually doing a less happily thing by you know, going to aftermarket providers, but perhaps they're trying to broaden their market.
Hmm. Now, Beck has thrown down the gauntlet.
Oh,
from Beck.
She has. Wow.
She has said that we've beaten her result for 1 hour, but can we beat the 3 hours in one?
So we're trying to
Beck
beat...
Beck's listeners are pretty awesome. I think our listeners are pretty awesome, too.
2,500 is the 3 hour... amount that we made this morning in breakfast.
And we've got 6 minutes to do it in.
So,
and remember, Mark's going to match.
I am going to match.
Hey, just to talk about how serious this is, one of our bits of equipment in the studio the other day, the thing that brings us to you in glorious stereo and all that great music and stuff during the week,
just upped and died.
Just gave up the ghost, packed it in, said I've had enough,
and so
went to Silicon Heaven.
This is unexpected. There's the thing about how we run here is we get things on an as needed basis. So it's not like we have a maintenance system where every 2 years things get replaced.
We don't keep a spare transmitter sitting in the cupboard.
If we did, it would be a fortune just sitting there. So we do keep it things on, you know, maintain things as they need to be maintained, as opposed to you know, regularly.
So, if you've been thinking we don't sound our usual vibrant selves, then maybe now you know why.
So, because of that, we need. This is even more reason, and this is not planned at all. This thing just failed because it needed to, you know, move on to a better place, perhaps, or something. So, we need your cash to enable us to buy new equipment here at Joy 94.9 for Tech Drive. Jump online, joy.org.au. The banner up the top is a way to do it, and you can call Mushin, who is at the front desk there, waiting to take your call as well. This is TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9. TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9. We are covering some of the latest in technology gadgets and consumer electronics. It's 3 minutes to one, so we're just about out of time for this show. We've been taking your donations for Tech Drive. If you want to give us a last-minute donation for TechnoGaze's little quota, do so now, because we want your cash to beat Beck from breakfast. Finally, shall we talk about Facebook?
What have they done now?
Just in case they weren't getting creepy enough.
They're giving us the ability to track our friends where they were located in real time. But
that's
only
right.
If they let you.
Yeah, so there's this thing called Latitude that Google used to have, and there's Find My Friends as well on iOS, which does the same sort of thing.
Yes, Find Your Friends, I think it's called.
Yes. What you can do is you can use that to sort of say, oh, who's who and who's where, and, you know, where exactly is Mark right now? Oh, he's sitting in Studio One, right? So it goes really, really into detail. Now, I personally didn't use it all that much. Like, I've used it at conferences and stuff where I want to see where mates might be. But anyway, Facebook has just announced a very similar feature. And I don't know, just for some reason, I feel like maybe it's a little bit more creepy now. Eek.
So it is strictly an opt-in service, though, just like the other ones. Yeah.
That's right. Hey, guess what? One more donation came in.
For $30. Thank you, Heath from Mulgrave, as well.
Thank you
very much for the last-minute donation. Now, I think that's probably all we've got time for, don't we?
We have run over as usual.
Yes. Now, if you've missed any part of the show, or perhaps...
Sorry. Brent from somewhere has donated $100 as well. So thank you, listener Brent.
Thank you, Brent. I'm matching double for dollar. If you've missed any part of the show, or perhaps you're looking to peruse previous episodes, you can do so by browsing to joy.org.au/technogaze. Coming up next is a Joy News Bulletin with Shannon, followed by Cravings with the nudie foodie Pete Dillon. Thank you for joining us today, Raina.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for you at home for donating, all the donators. It's, you know, much appreciated. We need the cash here.
I can't
for the
tell
stuff.
You how good it is.
And thank you, Michael, of course, for pressing buttons, doing what you
being
do.
Being beautiful.
Thank you.
We'll catch you. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you next week.
Technogaze on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.